All right, so I had it at the very end. I want to give you a bonus. All right, this is a bonus for you to do your own sermon prep. All right, all the scriptures appointed for today, as well as the songs that Wendell has chosen, there's a theme in them. And what I want you to do is just read them all, take the time to read them all, maybe go over the music again, maybe even listen to the 8 o'clock service again if you want to do that, and see if there's a theme. I'm not going to preach on that particular theme, but on another one. So I just wanted to give you that. And I think you know this. Thank you, Wendell. You know, our lectionary, I don't know who they are. There's a committee. I'm sure there's more than five or six, put this lectionary together. And so if it's not like a particular season of the year, like an Advent or a Christmas or an Easter, where there's clear themes that you pick, we're in this kind of ordinary time. I do think they pray over the scriptures. And this is one of those Sundays where it seems to me that all of them had a theme. And I want to say, I trust the church. And so this theme is obviously one the Lord wanted us to hear. I believe that. They picked it long before COVID came. So I just give that to you, all right? So with that, let's pray. Lord God, this is your day, and we come to it not being anxious about tomorrow. Your word tells us to allow today to be enough for today. And you've given us everything we need today. Your spirit has come, and you want to instruct us, encourage us, comfort us, draw us closer to you. And so may this word that we offer today, may this worship that we offer be a part of that drawing closer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it grabbed me lots of things from the gospel story, but one was the response Jesus gave at the very end, and we're going to back up and look at the other ones, but to this woman, this Canaanite woman, and he said this, your faith is great. Great is your faith. All right? And so, that's great. What is faith? This is 101 stuff here. You ready? This is my definition of, not mine, this is a definition of faith. There's lots of them, but faith is saying yes to grace. I hate to be so cheesy, but let's repeat that together. Faith is saying yes to grace. Faith is saying yes to grace. Grace is God's free gift. I think most of you know this. God's free gift of unconditional, I like to add unending love. It's not just unconditional, as if something would happen and then it ends. It's unconditional and unending love. So grace is God's free gift of unconditional, unending love. Faith is saying yes to God's unconditional, unending love. A love that cannot be earned, I think you guys know this, or received on merit. This free gift of God's unending love is not a badge to wear. It's not a membership card that gives you special privileges. It is a relationship. It is a relationship that is first encountered and then lived out in a covenantal commitment to Jesus. Better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death bursts forth into life. No shame or fear in covenantal relationship. Amen? So faith is saying yes to God's desire for a covenantal relationship. And as our scripture said, with all the nations, that's his heart's desire. In a reflection I read recently, you ever do that, just pull one line out, and I pulled this one line out. The Gospels were written so that we may encounter Jesus, not simply learn about him. Isn't that something? So the gospel, Matthew's gospel that we read today, was written so that we may encounter Jesus, not just learn about him. Oh, well, isn't Jesus a great guy? He loved the Canaanite woman. No, we were to encounter Jesus in this. Encounter Jesus, who is the fullness and exact imprint of God's what? Unending love. He is grace. Jesus is grace. So where do we encounter Jesus in this seemingly strange story of meeting the Canaanite woman, whom Jesus proclaimed after the meeting, you have great faith? I want to do a little bit of backstepping before I answer that. Last week, Gabe threw down a line that's just, I mean, it just really rocked me all week long. And this was the line: the love of God, rightly understood, is that all may receive it freely without shame. Do y'all remember that? Did you, any of you see it posted? He put it, I don't know what you call that when you put it in front of the podcast, but listen to that again. The love of God, rightly understood, is that all may receive it freely and without shame. I wanted to quote that because I think the without shame is part of receiving this gift of grace, without shame. And then in the context of the message that he gave last week, he went on to say, so the question for us is, can we love the difficult people of this world without requiring their shame? You know, without requiring them to ask for forgiveness or whatever it is that we might think they need. You know, I'm going to love you, but first I want you to prove that you really deserve it. Do we ever do that? So the love of God, rightly understood, is that we receive it freely, that's faith, and without shame. Saying yes to God, faith, is abandoning the shame and fear of rejection. And with all our crying out, like the Canaanite woman, saying, Lord, I need you. I need your unconditional love in my life. I not only need it for me, but I need it for my child. I need it for my friend. And I need it for this world. I need that for this world. You know, there's a line which is prayed by the celebrant at communion. It's in our new liturgy. It was not in any of the liturgies in the 79 prayer book. And I love it. And it's page 133. You want to look at that? Page 133. I get to pray this as a celebrant. You get to just kind of follow along if you're still paying attention at that point in the service. Yeah. Page 133, it's the first paragraph, the last line. First paragraph, last line, and it says this. As our great high priest, y'all seeing that? He, Jesus, ascended to your God, right hand in glory, that we may come with confidence. And what's the rest of that? Isn't that amazing? Jesus ascended as our high priest to the throne of God so that we might come with confidence to this grace. Isn't that amazing? So come with confidence to grace, another way to define what? Faith. So faith is not only saying yes to this free gift, but it's coming with confidence, which means no shame. I'm confident, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for me. Once again, guys, this is 101 stuff that I think we sometimes forget to share this and teach it and believe it, faith it. Where do we encounter Jesus in our story this morning? This Canaanite woman came with confidence to grace, to the, what? The Lord, you know, the Lord of Israel. Pleading, and I want to say that's faithing. You know, faithing is active. It's crying out. It's believing. Faithing for her daughter. She came in a posture of humility that, I love this word, sweetened the confidence that she had. She was humble before the Lord. She wasn't saying, I deserve this, Lord. She said, Lord, I need you. And I want to say he gave her this encounter that with Jesus, they almost became this little playful back and forth. Wendell and I talked about this week. I love that dialogue that was going on there. I mean, we could maybe justify the text a little bit. The Greek punctuation is not always like English. He might have said in the first case, was I only sent to the house of Israel? To the disciples who he's teaching? We know the answer to that. Maybe specifically to them, to teach them. But, of course, for all the nations. Confidence. Jesus almost is playful back and forth. And I can only imagine that as he was having this dialogue, the disciples going, where is he going with this? You know, not only the, I can't give you the food, you're a dog, kind of. And she goes, yes, but dogs even get scraps. Hear this. We operate under this understanding. Grace is extended to all. Right? We operate. Grace is extended to all. No selective giving and taking back on our part. If, as it seems, the scriptures point to the end time, God might do, I mean, some of the scriptures are clear about this, he might do some culling, right? But guys, that's not our problem. That's God's work. Our work is to extend grace to all, to model what he did in Christ. Confidence in God's grace, without this humility, this posture of humility, I know for me, can so easily turn into entitlement or even pride or even self-righteousness. Have you ever noticed when you do something right, it's hard not to be self-righteous about it? And when we finally say, Lord, I need you, then all of a sudden we kind of get a little prideful about the fact that we said, Lord, I need you. Confidence in God's grace without humility can so easily turn into entitlement or pride. You know, my father, he was not a particularly humble man. I'm sure my sister's laughing back there right now, but paradoxically, he loved a prayer in our prayer book, and it's been in every prayer book. Thomas Cranmer penned it, and it's a prayer that's formed from two gospel encounters. One was ours today, and the other one was Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus encounters a centurion, another non-Jew. And in encountering the centurion says to Jesus, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. I mean, what an amazing posture of humility he had. And then in our text today, the woman said this, Lord, even the dogs eat the scrap. You know what prayer I'm talking about? Is anybody? It's called the prayer of humble access. And it says, we do not presume to come to this side. This is the old version. This is what I memorized. We do not come to this side table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. You are the God whose character is what the new translation said, is always to have mercy, grace. We are not worthy, but you are the same Lord who makes us worthy. True humility and confidence in God's grace and mercy, it ditches the shame, guys, and simply says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So in closing, if grace is true, then I say yes, Lord. And if it's true for me, then it must be true for you, and it must be true for all, or it's not true for anyone. It's true for last week's gospel and Old Testament reading. It's true for Jonah. I mean, this little wishy-washy prophet who tried to flee. It's true for the Ninevites. It's true for the Canaanite woman, this pagan. I mean, the worship, the Canaanite worship was horrendous, but it was true for her, grace was. It's true for the Roman centurion. It was true for this guy named Saul, who was a terrorist, who murdered and persecuted the church and received grace, a living relationship, and his life changed and changed to countless generations. It's true for every nation, every power and authority, every friend and enemy. Grace is true. And to quote one of my favorite theologians, Brennan Manning, from his book, Ragamuffin Gospel, listen to this. Genuine self-acceptance is not derived from the power of positive thinking, mind games, or pop psychology. It is an act of faith, saying yes to God's grace. To accept yourself as God sees you is to say yes to God's grace. Unearned, undeserved, for all. Amen.